worship Jesus, the Father of creation. We've come to give him glory, for he's
here to worship Jesus.
It's going to be too low. It's the wrong key. It's totally off. I don't have it. And I don't have anything else.
We're here to worship Jesus, the Father of creation. We've come to give him glory. For he's the author of salvation, for he alone is worthy to receive our adoration. We're here just to worship the Lord. Oh, we're here to worship Jesus, the Father of creation.
Worthy to
nation, and we've come to give him glory. He's the author of salvation, for he alone is worthy to receive our adoration. We're here just to worship the Lord.
We're here.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Oh, he is worthy of all praise that man can give him. He who rules this world can rule this heart of mine. Oh, he who calms the troubled sea offers peace to you and me. Praise our Savior for his love divine. Oh, he is worthy of all praise that man can give him. He who rules this world can rule this heart of mine. He who calms the troubled sea offers peace to you and me. Praise our Savior for his love divine. Oh, he is worthy of all praise that man can give him. He who rules this world can rule this heart of mine. He who calms the troubled sea offers our Savior for his love divine. Yes, he is worthy of all praise that man can give him. He who rules this world can rule this heart of mine. He who calms the troubled sea offers peace to you and me. Praise our Savior for his love divine. Oh, he is worthy of all praise. He who rules this world can rule this heart of mine. He who calms the troubled sea offers peace to you and me. Oh, praise our Savior for his love divine. Yes, he is worthy of all praise that man can give him. He who rules this world can rule this heart of mine. He who calms the troubled sea offers peace. Oh, he who calls the troubled sea offers peace to you and me. Oh, praise our Savior for his love divine. Oh, he is worthy of all praise that man can give him. He who rules this world can rule this heart of mine. He who calms the troubled sea
offers peace to you and me. Praise our Savior for his love divine.
Yes, he is worthy of all praise that man can give him. He who rules this world can rule this heart of mine. Oh, he who calms the troubled sea offers peace to you and me. Oh, praise our Savior for his love divine. Yes, he is worthy of all praise. He who rules this world can rule this heart of mine. He who calms the troubled sea offers peace to you and me. Praise our Savior for his love divine. Oh, he is worthy of all praise
that men can give him.
Yes, he who rules this world can rule this heart of mine. Praise our Savior for his love divine.
Thank you. he's worthy, whether I think so or not. You know, God is worthy of all praise that men can give him. It's not that he need our praise, but we need to praise him. And you can get comfortable in some things in this world, but there's no comfort like what comfort you get from God, from his Spirit, from just knowing that that God is interested, like was said today. You know, his thoughts, he have good thoughts about his people. And to know that God cares for us, and that we are serving, especially our Savior that was on this earth, that went through things that he didn't have to, but he did it, and it made it possible for us to be able to. There was actually there's no other way we could have. It'd been possible for us to be overcomers had Jesus not done what he did. You know, he made it possible for us, and then we come into a life like this to have a better understanding, like Brother Durham told us today. You know, we can get knowledge and have a collection of thoughts and facts about things, but it's so much better when you begin to understand. When he enlightened us to where our eyes of understanding where we can see, and that's always better. I always felt that's better when you understand what you're going through. Even though it may not change it, you may still go through it, but to have an understanding to know why, you know, that I was reading where it talks about, you know, in the Bible where it says, you know, you have to, some question you have to ask, who is it talking to, who's saying what, and the time frame, when is this happening, like Brother Durham said, the 24th chapter of Matthew was dealing with the Jewish nation. Some of the same thing may happen to the Gentile in our time, but those scriptures dealing with the Jewish nation, and you know that he was talking to, Jesus was answering questions, and we have to know, like I said, who is it talking about? When is this time going on, and how, why, and all these different things. And it helps you to be able to look at the Bible in a different light. You know, when you begin to read it, I've heard people say they read the Bible, they may have read this before, but then they read this passage of scripture and something about it that jumps out at them. You know, there's something about it. They understood it better at that time. So that's the way the Bible is, you know. That's the way God's Word. And when we begin to shed some light on it. I remember Brother Leninger talking about the Bible is like an onion. You know, you just keep peeling it off. You just keep, you can peel several layers of the onion before you get to the core. So that's the way it is. You can get a better understanding. Even somebody talking to you, maybe it's the attitude you get in. You know, sometimes just having a different attitude about things, it helps you to see better. It helps you to be able to, if somebody is trying to help you, and maybe you don't like them for whatever reason, you know, or they make you mad or whatever reason. Then a lot of times you just cut that person off. You know, you're not going to probably hear much that they're going to try to tell you. But if you begin to change your attitude about it, that person, and begin to think, well, that, you know, everybody we meet has some good in them. You know, they can help you in some way or another. You know, everybody we meet. So if you consider, you know, whatever this person is saying to me, maybe I need to maybe just listen to them. You know, just stop and listen to it. Maybe I'll get something from what they're saying. So all those things help. You know, in serving God, we have to consider, you know, one another. And the Bible tells us to love one another. And in doing so, you know, a lot of times, it's too bad. You know, we're born selfish people, so, you know, that's almost automatic. Brother Durham was talking about when we were a lot of time in the Bible, you know, people in the religious world, you know, maybe we look at it and we always, you know, it's kind of looking at ourselves. We're maybe reading in a selfish way, you know, we're always thinking about ourselves. And if we can look outwardly and not inwardly all the time, sometimes we do have to look inwardly. But then if we consider, you know, what God is saying, you know, regardless of how I feel about it, but what is God saying about it? And I'd like to understand what God is trying to tell us. And I have to get past things in my own mind sometimes to get to be able to understand what God is saying. But that's what we want to. We want to hear what God is saying to us and to help us to be able to serve him. We want to know that. We want to know that that you know we're to be servants. That's one attitude to have is to say, Lord, I want to be a servant. I want to serve you. You know, like you know, fall at our master's feet. I was thinking about Mary and Martha. Mary was there at Jesus' feet, listening to him speak, and Martha was, you know, I think they might have been getting ready to have a dinner or something. And that was necessary what Martha was doing. She was helping and getting ready for whatever they was going to have to eat. And of course, Martha was going to get Jesus to say something to Mary to get her to help her, you know. But anyway, he told her that, you know, that Mary chose the good part, you know. She was interested in what Jesus was saying. I was listening to Brother, I don't know, Brother Durham talking about this rich young ruler. You know, sometimes I think when Jesus told him, you know, he asked him about the commandments and he had kept them all his life. He's always, you know, done those commandments. That's the way he grew up. And, of course, Jesus looked past what he was saying and just, he knew, you know, just listening to him. So, yeah, he said, I know what your problem is, you know. He just told him to, you know, sell all he had and give to the poor. And to me, you know, if you think about it, you'll say, well, that's Jesus, that may be a little unreasonable to ask this man to do this. But, you know, Jesus wants us to have the right perspective on life and things of this life. You know, the Bible says that if even at what we possess, you know, in this life, is temporal. You know, these things, you know, that God may bless us to have, they're just temporal. You know, they're not going to do much for our eternity. You know, no matter what you possess in this life, it's not going to help your eternal destination very much. It may give you a little comfort while you're trying to serve God. You know, while you're reading your Bible, while you're hearing the girl. You know, we're blessed to have some heat here tonight, and we don't have to be under the stars to listen to the Word of God, to feel His Spirit. But that just to comfort us. We could still hear God's Spirit, even if we had to do it from outside. You know, if we didn't even have this building. But we're blessed to have those comforts, you know. But it's just to help us along while we're trying to serve God, while we're trying to do His will. You know, we're blessed to have some comfort. I was thinking about this hurricane that was over, you know, in Haiti, you know, that was approaching. You know, I was kind of watching that, and I was thinking, I said, well, God, those people have been through so much, and they don't need the storm, you know. Of course, that storm missed them, you know. They dodged a bullet on that, but I believe God was looking out for them. I mean, I was, in my mind, I was thinking, well, God, they don't need this. But, you know, God knows what we need. You know, He knows what we need, and that was my heart was going out to Him. But God knows what we need, and He knows all about that. You know, He wants us to be concerned about one another, and you know, we know people over there, but He does. I think He's concerned about us being concerned, you know, about one another. He tells us to love one another, and therefore we ought to pray for one another and be concerned. And I want to have that kind of heart, I want to be concerned about my brothers and sisters. And I don't want to just be concerned about myself. But I know God is helping us, and I feel He's helping our church. And I'm so glad, you know, that we are in a place where we can hear things to help us along this way and to to know that we can do this, you know, with God's help. You know, we can serve him. We may not always understand it, may not always see the end of it, but just keep serving him. And like someone said, just keep putting one foot in front of the other. And just keep going on. You know, that's what we have to do, is just keep going on. You know, we run into some obstacles, but we're gonna just trust God through it. It get difficult sometimes, but we know that if we keep God holding to his hand, keep believing that God, you told us we can do this, and just keep believing that. Believe that we can, and I believe he'll help us to do it. And I'm just thankful that we have such an opportunity, you know, to be called children of God, be God's people of God, called by his name. You know, we you might think, well, you know, anybody ought to be children of God, but you know, it's the people that are giving them their lives. You know, given we are to submit ourselves, and we can't make ourselves children of God, but we have to submit ourselves to the Lord, and he can do it. Present ourselves to the Lord and let him make us what he would have us to be. The young folks were singing that song about whatever he would want to do with us. You know, I can't remember the words exactly, but use us, Lord. However, you know, he see fit. I mean, those were some pretty strong words, but ultimately that's what we're going to have to do. We're going to have to present ourselves and be submitted in such a way that he can use us in whatever he please, however he please. And that's the hard part. You know, unless we're surrendered to him, it's not really hard. They say it's hard. The way of transgress is hard. Not people that are really willing to work with God. It shouldn't be hard. But if we're fighting against him, then it is hard. But if we surrender our lives to the Lord, then it gets easier. The burdens, you know, he said put, you know, our burden, you know, turn our burden over to him, you know. He cares. And so I'm thankful that we get to hear this. You know, I get to hear that. I was reading some notes. It was dated like 1981. And I was reading all these different ministers. There was a ministers meeting going on in Fort Worth, Texas, 1981. And you had all these men, just about all of them, these notes I was reading here, they're not here today. You know, of course, I was in the meeting. And I was just thinking about all these good words, you know, all these good things. And we just have to serve God in the time frame that we have. You know, some of us, you know, after a while, somebody might take a note. They could do that too, but they can have a CD. You know, today we got DVDs. But anyway, they may buy a DVD of tonight's service. But you hold on to that for a few years down the road, then whoever, well, so happy I'm talking about right here. But anyway, you know, some of us won't be on, you know, won't be on the scene, you know, a few years down the road from there. I was just looking at that, and it may have been maybe one or two people on there that are still in the land of the living. But most of those people that I took the notes and I was reading over them. They're not here. But anyway, we are here. You know, and sometimes I think about that, and I say, that's scary, you know. You know, the burden that they was carrying, we should be carrying them today. You know, they did what they could while they was here. But these burdens, these concerns should still be carried on. You know, somebody still should care. Somebody still should show their love, you know. They can't do it. They're not here. But you're here. So you can still show your love tonight. You can still begin to praise the Lord. You can lift up your voice and let the, you know, anybody know that they can serve God. You know, we're to serve God. That's the best life, is serving God. I found it out, you know, that it's the best life. You know, we do look forward to a reward after this life, but even if you didn't get a reward after this life, this is still the best life. It's the best life to live, serving God. You have more peace. You get more comfort in times of troubles, you know. And we all have troubles. So you have more comfort. You know, all we have to do is begin to lean on the Lord and begin to realize that we can call on God. You know, we have that at our disposal. And we have access, you know, to God and his resources. Let's talk about heaven's resources. We have access to that. We can begin to, even today, I just appreciate the good spirit we felt. Brother Weiniger was talking. It's a really good spirit here today. And I felt that, you know, God's helping us. You know, we're serving God, and he's not leaving us out here on an island by ourselves, you know, but he's helping us to learn, you know, how to serve him and to get acquainted better with the Lord and the things that he likes begin to like those things, begin to acquire a taste for the things of God. If you don't like it, then just begin to help, ask God to help you acquire taste for the things of God, because it's the best for us, you know, the things that we can obtain in our life and to be able to grasp and let it become a part of our life. Like Brother Doomer was saying this morning, you know, we can hear these things from the Word of God and we can feel them, we can learn them, but eventually we're going to become, we're going to let that become our life. It's going to be in our life. You know, we're going to become the Word of God. That's what Jesus was. He was the Word of God, walking in flesh. And that's what we're learning to do that thing, that do those things, I know we'd like to have more power or more of the Spirit, that where we might can, you know, if we live long enough and as the church is more restored, you know, like the apostles in the early church, how, you know, they, like he was reading how that whatever you remit, you know, here, it's going to be remit in heaven. I mean, whatever you loose here on earth, be loose in heaven. You know, I don't care to have that kind of power, just to have that kind of power, but to be able to work with God in such a way that he will depart those things to us, to have, you know, not for us to use for our own disposal, but for the will of God. You know, we're aligning our lives to be pleasing and to work in God's will, you know, and to be able to, you just read about it sometime, you know, how that, even Paul, I think about him, he was doing God's work and against opposition, like every place he went, you know, because, you know, the law of the Jews, the law that he was having, you know, that he had to deal with, they, of course, the main one was circumcision, that, you know, he was telling the Gentiles it wasn't necessary, but he got in trouble, you know, and they everywhere he went, until he went to Rome, pretty much. I guess they was on him. So anyway, that was, I thought, well, maybe since he persecuted the church when he was not part of the church, then maybe those just some of the things he had to suffer. I don't know if that. But anyway, he did suffer some things. There is some suffering going along with serving God, but God was with him. He helped him all the way. You know, all the way, everything, every opposition he had, God was with him and helped him. So we're going to have some, but it's just knowing and having an understanding. You know, like that this is, you know, in a world where I think about in this world here, you know, it was a Jewish religion and the Gentiles was able to receive that and take part in the Jewish religion and, you know, in that part of it. But it was basically the Church of Christ, you know, Jesus. It's, you know, he came, actually, he didn't come to, the Bible says he didn't come to, what, destroy the law? Or he came to fulfill the law. He wasn't really, they weren't really living it like, you know, they had the law, but they weren't really obeying it like it should have been. And just in the law itself, it couldn't make them perfect. You know, they couldn't become their Adamic nature that they were born with. The law couldn't change that. Although it helped them to be able to live better if they lived by God's law that they had, but it didn't do away with the Adamic nature that they were born with. And that's what Jesus, his law, the New Testament law, work came into play, where we could not just have do's and don'ts, but we began to have this in our hearts, to where we live the law, live by love and working with God, working as servants to the Lord. We're not doing this for ourselves, this is not a selfish walk. We're working, trying to learn God's will, to where our will will line up with God's will, and therefore we'll be able to please the Lord. And we're going to have some opposition, serving God. And I look at today, in this world we're living in, religious world, how, it's not like back then where they just, it was the early church and Jewish people and Jesus talking to them, trying to show them, a better way. But now people, what do you think? People feel like they have a better way. They feel like they are on their way to heaven. And so, in other words, they're deceived, So it's kind of difficult in one sense to be able to talk to people and try to show them light and love and show them a better way. And then in some cases, they might not even be looking for a better way. If you're talking to somebody that feel like they're on the way to heaven, and you say, well, look, I got a better way to do this. And they say, well, I'm already going to heaven. I don't think I want to hear what you're saying. So anyway, it's kind of difficult. But I believe somewhere along the line, as we go on, that somehow things going to, as a group of people become more. I just like to see that happen, where we become more like Jesus as a group, not just you or not just me, but as a group collectively, more like Jesus. Be a light. The Bible talks about a light set on a hill. We are to be that light set on a hill, not just naturally, but spiritually. That where when people come in the doors, they should be able to feel a different spirit here among us. We're not that we're putting that on, but it's just that that we'll have so much of the love of God in our hearts until it can be felt. It should be felt. When we're gathered together, I feel like the love of God can be felt among us. And I just feel like that's going to happen. I like to see it. I like to live long enough to see a people that are called by His name, not just called by His name, but have His name, that where does He reside? God's Spirit and His presence. In His presence, there's fullness of joy. At His right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Would you like to be among people that have the presence of the Lord residing among them? And I just long for that day myself, to be among people that are, in their lives are like inviting God or His Spirit, to reside, to be with us. In our service, we invite the Lord to be with us and to reach out to Him in such a way. And I know we just can't muster that or just make that happen, but I do believe that it's possible that people can be their attitude toward God in such a way that. That God, I believe God, He's concerned. Like you said, His thoughts, He has good thoughts toward us. And I believe if we begin to meditate on those things, we begin to meditate on the things of God, not just His words, but even His presence, to have God's presence among us. I like to meditate on those things and to know that that's possible. You know, we're not maybe so much trying to get ahead of anybody, but I believe we can want that, you know, in our hearts to be close to the Lord. We sing about it. You know, Lord, I want to be close to you. We sing about just more of you, Lord. More of you. You know, all that I do, you know, I just want more of Jesus. You know, we sing about these things, and I feel like, you know, it's possible that we can have more of Jesus. We can live closer to Jesus. We can live closer to the Lord. It's possible. I really do. I believe that. And I don't know, like I say, I get concerned about things, and I know that, like I say, you know, I'll live my time and I'll move on like everybody else. But I hadn't moved on yet, so I'm gonna try to find myself praising God. All right. I'm still here, so I want to praise the Lord. I want to for my life to be in Jesus. You know, I want to have that kind of declaration to serve Him. I want to serve God. I don't know of anything. I worked at a company almost 40 years, and I was thinking the other day they had a program called, you know, for perfect attendance. You got an award every 5-year interval, and I got awards up until 25 years. They did away with the program, but I didn't stop having perfect attendance. I don't remember. I lost track. They weren't giving awards, so I just kind of. I had perfect attendance over 30 years, and I don't know how many years it was. But anyway, and I was thinking, you know, this is for, like I said, a natural, wasn't a crown, but it was a natural kingdom. This is a natural kingdom. How much more in God's kingdom, you know? Why shouldn't we want to be faithful to God and His kingdom? You know, not just for a corruptible crown. You know, well, I've done that, you know, not just for a corruptible crown, but for something that's not corruptible, that's incorruptible. That's what we're after. We want to have incorruptible crown. We want our lives to be measured up to Christ, to where, you know, the natural thing won't matter so much. I want to give more of my life to the Lord and the work with Him. I appreciate God's people and being in, to be blessed to be a part of the body of Christ, to hear things. Maybe we're not together on everything. They'll be discussing that in this meeting coming up this week. You know, somebody say, well, we'll probably have more to threshing for since the brethren have come together. And that may happen, but, that's to be done. But even while all that's going on, you know, as just a saint or just an individual in the body of Christ, you know, we can still live a dedicated life. You know, our heart should be to want to be dedicated to the Lord, regardless, you know, we appreciate our ministers and what they are doing. They're working for the Lord. You know, they are on the job. This is on the job training for them. You know, they, like Brother Smith said, he tried to sit on the Brother Patton, but he told him, no, you just need to keep your people and just be faithful to this group of people. And he called it on-the-job training. And that's what we're doing. This is on-the-job training. Sometimes I look back at my record and I don't feel like maybe I dedicated myself enough or was not committed enough. But I don't want to, you know, I can beat myself up some, but I do that sometimes, But I'm concerned about, you know, the things of God, and I want to do better. I want to live better. I want to live for the Lord. Do you ever look at the early church and we say we're going to live to see a restored church and think, how is that going to be? You know, when you look at the early church and see how they operated back in that day and to think that, you know, we'll, I don't know, you know, we look at these time frames they're using, and whenever it happens, to be a part of a people that are so dedicated to the Lord that even death won't stop them. You know, that won't cause them to recant or to change and go the other way. I remember my brother Billy Case told us about a dream he had one time. All these people were in line. They was being martyred, I believe. I can't remember all of it. But anyway, But he was in line with these people, and they were all being martyred. And he was looking at it, and I think he got out of line and went somewhere. But he came back and got in line. And he felt like this is what he was supposed to do. He's supposed to be right with God's people. But I want to live for the Lord. I want to give my life and serve him. It's no better place. It's no better way. It's no greater effort, I think, in this world. You know, whatever effort you might put forth to do whatever you want to be, you know, in the natural or whatever, you might want to attain in this world. You know, there is no greater effort, you know, working for God. Living your life to live for him, to serve God. And I don't feel like it's a greater walk, a vocation, Paul called it. You know, it's no greater vocation to be a servant of God. And that's what I'm finding, you know, in this world. I hadn't sought everything out in this world, but the things that I did see in this world and got involved in, the things of God are better, are much better than some of the, you know, what this world has to offer. There are good things, good careers that you can have. Military, I went there, you know, served some time there. But I feel like there's no greater vocation you can have that you can put forth an effort to do, you know, than serving God. You know, seeking him to find what he would have for you. You know, I don't want to tell you what you're supposed to be doing for God, but seek God, you know, to find out what he would have for you to do. Because, you know, we're going to only have so much time, you know, to live. And I want to make mine count. I'm sure some of it I've done maybe counted, but I don't want to lose any ground. I want to be found serving God with what time I have left, you know. Like I say, I look back and I look at other people and sometimes I just think, Lord, those people, you know, I look at some of my sisters. I remember going on a trip, I believe it was to a meeting in Brother Winters, Sister Tucker. Well, I know we was driving. I don't know if I was driving a car. Might have been Brother Sister Goodson. But anyway, we was on this trip. And we was on our way back from the meeting, and we came through Fayetteville, Arkansas, and on highway, whatever. It wasn't 540 back in those days. It was 71. But anyway, we was coming through Fayetteville, and the Razorbacks was had a ball game going on. And we just happened to mention this to Sister Tucker, you know. Of course, she probably don't listen to Razorbacks. But anyway. Anyway, she was, you know, I think it was Brother and Sister Gibson. But anyway, we just happened to mention that to Sister Tucker that the Razorbacks are playing today. You know, we was on Saturday, we was on our way back home. She said, y'all want to listen to it? Sure. So we got to listen to the Razorbacks coming home from a meeting. And now how blessed can that be, you know? Coming back, we was in there. You know, somebody that you thought, no, surely she wouldn't want to listen to the Razorbacks. But anyway, we got to listen to the Razorbacks playing football. So anyway, you know, God is good to us, and he got good people. And they understand, you know, people. You know, understand each other. You know, we can, you know, that's a small thing. But anyway, we got to listen to the ball game. But anyway, God is good, and I want to serve him. You know, I find it's a blessing to be among people that are giving their all. And like I say, I don't always know what to do about every situation I'm involved in, and you probably, maybe you don't either, but we can seek the Lord together, you know, about things and try to help one another, try to be a blessing to one another, and to know that you're trying to serve God like I am. And if I can do anything to make it easier for you, to make it more not altogether comical. We hear comical things, and it's good to have a laugh about things, but that's wonderful. But just to, however, make it easier for you to serve God. We want to serve God, but it's not going to ever be easy on the flesh, but you can have some comfort along with the overcoming the flesh. You know, we're going to have to mortify the deeds of the flesh. You know, that's going to have to be done away with. But I feel like sometimes, you know, it helps to know, you know, that people understand you. I'll try to understand you better, you know, because we're trying to serve God, and as much help we can get, you know, it says, you know, to know that somebody cares, you know, that somebody even think about you, call you on the phone, or do something to even let you know that, yeah, I'm not just out here by myself, you know. I'm not just doing this by myself, but there are other people that care. You know, and somehow, you know, God's not down here with us physically, but our brothers and sisters are. So we can help one another, you know. And sometimes I get, like I say, I beat myself up some, and I feel like I'm not doing enough. But anyway, I appreciate what is being done, you know. The amount of good that is being shown and done, I appreciate that. I appreciate God's people. I appreciate being here tonight and feel God's wonderful spirit.
Appreciated what he had to say. I don't have a lot to say, but I thought, well, I better get up and let God know that how much I appreciate him. Because the song we had at the beginning of the service, we're not all that important. It's what God can do, what God does for us that is important, is that he changes our lives. And Brother Durham, I enjoyed his Bible study, you know, and I got to thinking, you know, what ground am I at, you know. I know he brought that up and some other things too, but I kept thinking, am I stony ground, or am I wayside soil, you know, or am I good ground? I thought, Lord, I know I'm not good ground, because, you know, even this past week, I've been a ringtail cooter, and I didn't have to have no help. I done it all on my own. So I'm glad I'm here today, tonight. Because that's why I'm here, because I realize I need God. And I need him more than I ever have any time in my life, you know. Because I appreciate the blessings that God has given me and the mercies that he has shown me. And, you know, I have to stand up and say that God has dealt with me ever since I was a small child, and I appreciate that. I really do. I appreciate that God saw fit to let me feel his spirit even when I was a young child, and because I think that's that feeling and that spirit that you feel as a young child will never leave you. But I wish this, though. I wish when I was a younger child and got up to my teenage years, my mindset was, and it may be a lot of us at that age, I think we try to see how much we can get by with without really getting into trouble, you know, and it's the same way with God. You think, well, now, just how much can I get? But I wish I'd have got out of that mindset. I wish the mindset that I would have got in was, how much can I do for God, you know, instead of just trying to get away from things, you know, and just see how much things you can get by with, but what is it that I can do for God? And try to find his favor, you know, for God in my life. And I know that if I would have had that mindset, I would have been a lot further along than I am today. But, you know, God knows my heart. And so I appreciate him. I appreciate him for so many things in my life that he's helped me to realize that I need him and I need God. And that, you know, like I said, that stony ground and that wayside soil of mine is my mindset. And it's my mind. If God can change my way of thinking into his, you know, then I can become good ground. And that's what I'm struggling and trying to let God deal in my life. And the only way I know to do that is to let God's Spirit touch me and to listen to the ministry and let them deal with my life. Where is it says that you fall on this rock, which is the rock of Christ, but if you let the rock fall on you, he'll ground you to powder. And so, you know, one way or the other, but he'll ground you to powder. Matthew 15 and oh, come on, help me here. And whosoever shall fall on this rock, on this stone, shall be broken. But on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. But you know that stone that Christ is, if we'll just fall on him and let him work with us and deal with us, even though our mindset is to do something a certain way, and we might even not think that it's wrong. But you know, if we let God deal with us and let God touch our hearts through the Spirit of the Holy Ghost, he can help us. He can help us become a worthy vessel, that is. And that's what we're striving to become, is a worthy vessel. And, what I was talking about when I was younger, if I could have let God deal with me and touch my life, I know God would have blessed me more than what he is today. But I appreciate where I'm at today, don't you? I am glad that God led me here and gave me a vision of the body of Christ. See, that's it. What is our vision? What is our what are we? We've got to have a vision. We've got to have a focus on what God is doing in our lives. And so, but I just wanted to get up and say, God, I appreciate you. I appreciate God. I'm glad that he has led me this way. And I pray that God keeps me here. I pray that God keeps me here. I've been through a lot of things, and I've been through a lot of struggles. And I ain't saying that I've finally found the answer, because I haven't, but I'm still looking for that answer, you know, in God. But I guess what I'm trying to say is, anymore I'm getting to where that if if God doesn't deal with me about something, I don't do nothing. I'm tired of just hauling off and no matter what. And just because of, for the sake of doing something, wind up knowing it's wrong, like Brother Michael was talking about today. You got to tear the whole thing down again and start over. And some kind, I don't know how many times God has started over in my life. He's tore everything down that I began to build. He'll tear it completely down to the nitty-gritty, and I'll start it back up again. He said, that ain't right, and he'll just tear it down again. Finally, I get just tired of building things, and I said, God, you're going to have to do this yourself because I don't know what I'm doing. You know, but anyway, I appreciate God. I'm glad that he's here, glad that he... See, I've been through things. I've lost my house. I've lost my cars. I've lost my bank account. And I've almost lost my life. And I feel like, you know how I used to, a long time ago, pilgrims and pioneers was heading out across the land. And they hung everything on the side of their wagons, you know, and here they go. Mama stuck her organ in the side of the wagon, and Daddy stuck things on the side of his wagon and stuff here and there, and off to California they go. And they may be plumb up in the state of New York. Well, and they decide they're going to go there, and they're going across rivers and valleys and stuff. And now then, when things get pretty tough, heading out across the desert, and them mules out there is just not doing it just as well as it could because they're a little bit older and they're stumbling. That's when they start shucking their stuff out of that wagon, throwing it on the side of the road because they want to make California. And that's the way I feel like sometimes God's done to me. He's helped me shuck everything out of my wagon, and when I got here, I'm empty. But you know, he says, I'm going to fill you back up, boy. He said, I'm going to give you something that you ain't never had before. And that's the sweet Holy Ghost. He's given me the Holy Ghost. And he's given me something that I ain't ever had before. And that is the Spirit of God in my heart. And he has given me a peace in my heart. I can lay down at night now that I feel like that. Now, and shut my eyes and go to sleep and wake up fresh the next day knowing that God loves me and that God wants to take care of me. And if I can just give him my life and my all, he is going to take care of me. And I know now that God is going to help us. He's going to help us all. And so I just wanted to get up and give him the praise and the honor and the things that he deserves. And lay this flesh of mine aside and my pride and my whatever it is that's standing in my way. And letting God know that I appreciate him. You know, he died on a cross for us and he died for us and he's he lived the life that was needed, and he made a way for us. So I appreciate him. Don't you? Don't you love God and thankful? I'm thankful that I'm here. I am so thankful that I'm here. But anyway, I'll get down from here and back up. But I just want to let him know that I appreciate him so much. I do. I appreciate God so much. If that's all I can do is just say, God, I love you. That's enough. If all you can do is stand up and say, God, I love you, do you know that'll prick his heart? And he say, you know, I love that little girl or that little boy or that sister or that brother. Because he will or she will stand up and say, they love me. And